You can be seated. Go to 2 Timothy 3. And this young man over here on the electric guitar, Colin, him and another young man in our church named Xander Danford and Clayton, my son back here on the guitar, those three guys wrote that song that we just sung. Wasn't that a fantastic song? He is, I am. Deep song, good song. And that's a Crossroads. Don't you love the Crossroads originals around here? Amen. It's like we got a lot of those because we got a lot of fantastic songwriters in the church. And so we, seems like, I don't know, maybe not every week, but it seems like, you know, we always seem to get a Crossroads original. Of course, the band recorded an album about a year and a half ago. You can get that on all the live streaming music and all that, different ones, Google Play and all that. And it's got, I think, 11 or 12 Crossroads original songs. But we're just thankful for the great job there that they did. And we're gonna learn the Bible today. We're gonna go to 2 Timothy 3. We're going through the book of 2 Timothy, and we're in verses 5 through 9. And so that's where we're gonna be this morning. And I hope you have your handout ready to go and you're ready to learn. How many of you guys in here have ever gotten a phone call where it said scam likely? Guess what? We got one at 3 in the morning last night. Last night, the phone rings at 3 in the morning. That's never a good news. No one calls you at 3 in the morning with good news, do they? And so we get a phone call at 3 in the morning, scam likely. It's like, oh, man, it's from another country, you know. And I don't know if you've seen this or not, but the new thing now is imposter scams. And that's they come in a variety of forms, but they basically all work the same way. A scammer calls you up on the phone and pretends to be someone that you trust in order to convince you to send them money or give them credit card information. Recently, my mom got one of these imposter scams. Somebody called her up on the phone, and they were pretending to be her beloved grandson. Oh, Grandma, this is your grandson. Oh, she said, it is? Yes, and I've had a wreck, and I'm in the hospital, and I need some money right away. Well, my mom's 85, but sharp as a tack. She toyed with that guy on the phone until he got so mad he hung up. She's 85, man, and just toyed with the guy, you know. She's telling me all about it. No, it was so funny, she said. But there's a lot of these imposter scams. Be careful. Sometimes they'll call, pretend to be the IRS. Sometimes it's tech support. Sometimes they'll pretend to be your cell phone company. That's a really common one right now. And, of course, your grandkids, you know, they'll pretend to be your grandkids. And, oh, Grandma, I had this terrible thing happen, and I've ended up in jail, and I need bail money. Well, don't call our family. We'll be like, well, we'll come visit you. What jail are you in, you know? That's what our family would say, but it's so sad, you know. It happens all the time, and you got these online dating scams where they pretend to be something they're not, and many times young girls get taken out of the country, get abducted, and it's terrible. And I don't know if you saw recently a college girl was coming out, you know, downtown area, tons of people, but she called an Uber. She got in the car thinking it was her Uber, and it wasn't her Uber, and the guy takes her out in the woods and just brutally kills her. And, you know, you got to be so careful these days. You don't want to be somebody's sucker, that's for sure. By the way, I'll say this. Some of you seniors in here, if anyone ever calls you up on the phone, and if there is an ounce of doubt in your mind, hang up the phone. Just hang it up. Isn't that simple? Trust me, if the IRS wants to get a hold of you, they will find a way to get a hold of you. Okay? They're not going to call you on the phone. All right? And so, you know, they'll track you down. Trust me. So, you know, just hang up the phone and don't ever give out personal information or credit card information over the phone. Can I get an amen out there, huh? Seniors, hear me. Don't ever do it. I don't care who they say they are. Whether they're your cell phone company, forget it. Okay? So, here's the deal. Are there scammers in the religious realm? Oh, yeah. They use religion to scam. Plenty of religious scammers. They could show up on your TV. They could show up on your computer screen. They could show up at your front door. They can even show up in your local church. And that's what our text is going to be all about today. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this, he knew that young Timothy, who was doing church work, would have to deal with scammers. And so Paul warns Timothy about this. By the way, he warned young preacher Titus too in Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He said, Titus, there are many vain talkers and deceivers out there. He said they subvert whole houses, and he said they do it for filthy lucre, for money's sake. So there's a lot of scammers. And so this is a warning that we all need to pay attention to and that we all need to heed. I've seen people come through, I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen people come into the church and basically scam people. I remember years ago, before I was the lead pastor, we had some guy come into the church, make a big splash. He'd stand up, and just when the church was smaller, he'd stand up, give a testimony, just cry and weep about how much he loved Jesus. You know, he ends up getting this young girl in the church to marry him, and he's got a record as a wife beater. He beat her. He ends up in a divorce. I mean, it was wasn't a happy ending at all. A scammer, right? You get people, they come into the church because they know that typically Christians are, you know, unfortunately, many times Christians are soft touches, you know, and so they come into the church and they scam people to get money out of people and extort money. Other people, well, they're on a power hunger, you know, and so people will come into the church and they want power, and so they'll come into the church, get people's trust, earn people's trust, you know, and then they'll lead people, good people, down a very bad path, and they'll cause major problems in the church. They'll get a group in the church to follow them, try to cause a church split, or try to cause problems in their life group. All these different things happen. Why? Because scammers, you know. How do we detect religious scammers? That's an important question, because you don't want to get scammed, right? Amen? You don't want to get scammed. So how do you keep from getting scammed? Well, number one, here's the first characteristic of a scammer. Number one is they always will pretend to be something that they're not. They pretend to be something that they are not. And look at verse number 5. Let's go to our text, all right? Verse number 5, we're going to cover several verses here this morning. He says in verse 5, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7, he said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you know what he just said? He said these religious scammers, they look godly, but they deny God's power. They appear to hunger for truth, but yet they won't embrace God's truth. And if you look back at verse 5, look at verse 5 again. What does that say? It says they have a what? A form of godliness. You know what that word form is? If you look it up, the Greek word there, it's so interesting. The Greek word for form, the Greek word is morphosis. You guys aren't as amazed by that as I was, are you? I thought that was so cool. I look it up. The Greek word's morphosis. You guys, how many of you ever heard of a metamorphosis, right? A metamorphosis means a change of form into something else. How many of you remember Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? That's what I think of as when I think of amorphosis. You know, Dr. Jekyll was this friendly, kind man, and then he would take this serum that he had concocted, and then he would turn into the evil Mr. Hyde. And there's this metamorphosis that happens. And that's the word there for form. They have a form of godliness. So what it's saying is that these people, they pretend to be something they're not. Who does that sound like? They pretend to be something they're not. Satan, look in your handout, and I've got a great cross-reference. 2 Corinthians 11, look at that with me. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Notice what they do. What's the next word? Transforming. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, don't be surprised. He said, for Satan himself is transformed into what? How does Satan appear? Angel, did you know if Satan came to you, he would not come with a red suit and horns and a pitchfork? He would come as an angel of light and appear to you. Then it says, look at the rest of that. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So Paul says, Timothy, when these scammers come into the church, man, he says they're gonna pretend to be like God. They're gonna pretend to love God. They've got a form of godliness, but he says they deny the power of God. Well, what's the power of God? What does that mean? Look in your handout. Let's see what the power of God is. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. The power of God is the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. If you look at the screen, 1 Corinthians 1:18, same thing. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, what is the cross? It is power of God. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, he says, Christ, what is Christ? Christ is the, talk to me, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the power of God is Jesus Christ and all the truth of Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, his resurrection, his sinless character, his virgin birth, the character and the work of Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth of God. And that's the power of God. So what does this teach us? It teaches us that there are people that go through the rituals of religion, but they do not possess the life and vitality of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They have an outward form, looks good on the outside, but they're inwardly empty. Reminds me one time I was out with a friend of mine, and he's a pastor now here in town. He's a good friend, Scott Kirshner. And he and I, we were out one day, and we went through the drive-thru of Popeye's Fried Chicken. Of course, you know I'm a health food fanatic. So I got to get my fill of Popeyes, right? Love Popeyes. So we go through Popeyes drive-thru, and he's like, man, those apple pies look great. I want one of them apple pies. I said, okay. So we get our chicken. He gets an apple pie, and we're down the road. He's eating his chicken, and then finally he gets to his beloved apple pie. He takes a bite out of that apple pie, and he goes, what? And he turns around, and he says, look at this. And he shows me his apple pie. He took a bite out of it. It was hollow. There was nothing on the inside at all. They had forgot to fill it. And so there wasn't even any juice in it. It was completely dry and hollow on the inside. And it looked perfect on the outside. He was so mad, I thought he was going to lose his mind, you know. And so we were reminiscing about that this week and laughing about that. That's why it was fresh on my mind. But it looked so good on the outside, but it was completely empty on the inside. And that's exactly what Paul said here. He said they got a form of godliness, but they're empty, man. He says they deny the power. They don't know Jesus Christ. And they're empty on the inside. And I know all about that. That was me. That was me. I'm not looking down my nose. I mean, that's just that was me. And I remember when, as a teenager, I had a form of godliness. I went to church every Sunday. I went through confirmation classes at our church. I went through a baptism ritual where they went up and did all this stuff and sprinkled me. I had a form of godliness, but guess what? I denied the power. I did not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was empty on the inside. Man, I praise God for the day, though, that I came to know Jesus as my Savior. Amen. And you know what? You can go to church, you can look the part, you can have forms of religion, and yet be completely lost. Forms of religion does not change a person on the inside. A form of religion outside doesn't change you on the inside. Listen, at Halloween, you can dress up like a policeman, but guess what? You're not a policeman. You can dress up like Captain Marvel, but you're not Captain Marvel. Now, please don't tell my 4-year-old grandson that he's not Captain Marvel. He has a Captain Marvel costume he wore at Halloween, and he thinks he's Captain Marvel when he has that on. So don't tell him that, all right? Oh, Captain America, sorry. Whatever. I thought they were the same, you know. Is Captain Marvel's a girl? Oh. You can tell I don't follow all the hero movies, right? All the superheroes. I'm not up on all that, right? You may dress up like Spider-Man, but don't try to scale a building, all right? I got that right. You could dress up like Luke Skywalker, but guess what? When a crook comes in your door and you're all dressed up like Luke and you pull your lightsaber out, he is not going to be intimidated by that, all right? He is not going to be intimidated by that. You are not Luke Skywalker just because you look like him. Do y'all get my point? You can look religious on the outside, but be empty on the inside. And forms of religion don't change you. So what does change your what does change you on the inside? Look in your handout. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. How do you get in Christ? You trust him as your Savior. You don't just have an outward form. You invite Christ into your inner being. You want him as part of your life. You trust him as your Savior. The moment you do that, you are placed in Christ, and he's in you. You become one with him. Look what the result is. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul warned Timothy to stay away from these religious counterfeits. Why? He said they're up to no good, and they're going to end up just creating trouble. If you look at the screen up here, Romans 16, he basically gave the same warning to the church at Rome. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. He said, because they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the power of God. They're not really serving Jesus. He said, they're serving their own belly. In other words, their own self-interest. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the what? Simple. People who are simple-minded spiritually, and they let religious scammers reel them in, suck them in. They pretend to be something they're not. Number two, religious scammers strategically influence others. Let's move on to verse number 6. And notice he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers or different lusts. The picture here is of well-to-do women who are foolish. They're silly. They're foolish. They're easily flattered, self-indulgent, laden with sins, so burdened down with these issues that it makes them very susceptible. Listen, mark my words, scammers prey on people's weaknesses. Are there people doing that to you right now? Are there people in your life that are taking advantage of weaknesses in your life? Listen, that is not your, that person is not your friend. If someone is taking advantage of weaknesses in your life, that's a scammer. That's somebody scamming you. And you need to, like Paul said, avoid them, resist them, get them away, turn away from them. Because that is not a mark of a true friend, someone who will prey on your weaknesses and take advantage of your weaknesses. Then he says that they are led away with different lusts. They got all these various kinds of passions and desires, such as pride, vanity, susceptibility to flattery, and they're an easy mark for these religious scammers. Do you like it when people tell you what you want to hear? Do you like that too much? I mean, we all like a compliment, if we're honest. We all like a pat on the back, but you can get addicted to that. And you can get to the point where you surround yourself only with people who tell you what you want to hear. And that's the mark of a scammer that does that. Let me tell you something. A true friend in your life will tell you the truth even when it hurts. They love you. They want to protect you. And they will tell you the truth even when it hurts. A scammer won't. A scammer's got honey flowing out of their mouth and always telling you what you want to hear. And always trying to, you know, to flatter you. There's a difference between a sincere compliment and insincere flattery. And a scammer is just trying to basically, listen, when someone in your life always has honey flowing out of their mouth and always telling you what they want to hear, watch your back pocket, watch your pocketbook, amen? All right, just keep an eye open. Notice, though, that these scammers that Paul talks about, they don't openly propagate their views. No, no, no. They endeavor first to influence spiritually weak women. It says they creep into houses. In other words, they worm their way into homes, and they worm their way in, and they influence these spiritually weak women in this case. And through them, they influence through the women, they influence the men, and then the men, of course, influence the church at large. That's an interesting strategy right there they were incorporating, because basically that is right from the playbook of Satan. Think about this. When Satan wanted to tempt mankind into sin in the Garden of Eden, who did he target first, Adam or Eve? You say, why? Why did he target Eve? Because he knew if he got Eve, he had Adam. If he got Eve, he had Adam. Women are influencers. Some of you women are sitting there batting your eyes, looking so innocent. Why, I don't know what you're talking about. An influencer? You ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a fact. Women are influencers. I mean, even me, if I'm honest, listen, if you want to convince me of something, convince her. Now, still not 100%. We disagree from time to time. I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. But you got a lot better chance of convincing me if you convince her first. I remember when I was in high school, my brother and some of his friends, they worked, and they in the summer, they asked me to come work with them. You say, what did y'all do? We sold vacuum cleaners door to door. Y'all never knew you had a pastor that sold vacuum cleaners, did you? I did. I was like 16, man. I was going outdoor. I thought, who's going to buy a vacuum cleaner from a 16-year-old? Guess what? I sold vacuum cleaners. I sold them suckers. And we go door to door, and we would sell these vacuum cleaners to people. And you know what I found out? I wasn't even married yet. And I found out a truth that has stuck with me, and that is this. Convince the wife, and it's sold. If I could convince the wife, it was sold. You guys, sometime I'll tell you about all the jobs I've had. I was a DJ at a radio station too, but we won't go into that. In 25 years of being a lead pastor, of course, I have had men get upset, take their family, and leave the church, disgruntled about something, you know. That's anywhere you go. That's any church you go to. That happens to everyone. It happens in business. That happens. People are people no matter where you go. And the Apostle Paul could pastor this church and people would get mad and leave. I mean, they stoned Paul and put him in prison, right? So, I mean, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. It's just going to happen. People get upset, disgruntled about this or that. And I would say that in 95% of the cases, the men would have been fine if their wives would have been fine. But it started with their wives. And the women get worked up. And they get the men worked up. And that's where it goes. Women are influencers. And it's the same way with staff. I've had good guys be on my staff before through the years. And they end up leaving the staff, and truth of the matter is, if their wife would have been fine, they would have been fine. But because their wife wasn't fine, they weren't going to make it. And here's the point. Scammers know who is susceptible. They know who they can target. They know who they can influence readily. And my question is really simple for you. Are you one of those people? Do you tend to kind of just believe whatever you hear? You read a book and automatically you buy into the book you bought at the Christian bookstore? You just buy right into it. Or you hear some guy on TV, no, he quoted the Bible, and you just buy right into it. You know, or you hear something, you just buy right into it. Are you grounded in the truth of God? Or are you pretty susceptible? You're spiritually not grounded. So therefore, you just kind of, you know, look at your handout. Look at that passage in Ephesians 4. It's on the back of your handout. He says that we hereafter be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. This is why we emphasize, you know, getting in the Word of God for yourself. Get in the Bible for yourself. Feed yourself. Get in a small group. Learn the Bible in a small group setting where you can ask questions and there's interaction. Be faithful to Sunday morning worship. You know, don't be one of the Christians that you come once a month or you hit it twice a month. No, you got a commitment. Sundays, that's what we do at our house. We worship God. That's what we do, you know. And you're faithful to church and you are involved in a small group. You're in the Word. What are you doing? You're getting grounded so that you're not like that verse. You're not just carried about with everything you hear and everything sounds good to you. And no, you're grounded so that you're not somebody else's sucker. You want to get grounded in the truth. Number three, last point is this. These scammers, number three, oppose spiritual authority. They oppose spiritual authority. If you look at verse number eight, that's what that teaches. Look at verse eight. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So he goes to an Old Testament story. So do these also. Current day, these guys, these scammers, they also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. So who are Jannes and Jambres? These were two men most people believe were pagan Egyptian magicians that opposed Moses. Remember when Moses went into Pharaoh, King Pharaoh of Egypt? He's like, let my people go. God said, let my people go. And then he did miracles. Like turned the river into blood. Well, these magicians, these guys, they came and they imitated the miracles of Moses through satanic powers. And they were persuasive and they were convincing. And these magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not hearken. He wouldn't listen to Moses. He wouldn't listen to God. And so these guys turned Pharaoh against the spiritual authority there. And this is a mark of religious scammers in the church, Paul said, is that they speak disparagingly of spiritual authority and they seek to undermine it. Why? To make themselves look bigger. See, they know better. They always have a better way. They know better and they always have a better way than the spiritual authority. Now, please understand, I am not saying that there are no perfect leaders and there are no perfect churches. And if you're a member of a church very long at all, you're eventually going to have an issue. Someone's going to offend you. I'm going to say something you don't like. You know, someone in the life group is going to offend you. The life group teacher is going to say something that upsets you. Someone's going to offend you in some way. A decision's going to be made that you don't like. A direction's going to be taken that you're against. A ministry is going to be stopped that you like. You know, there's just all kinds of things that are potential that you can get upset about. And when you have issues, because sometimes people mess up. You know, people aren't perfect. Churches mess up. Leaders mess up. You know, friends mess up. And so eventually, when you have an issue in your church, there's no doubt you're going to have an issue eventually. But you know what? There are right ways and there are wrong ways to go about dealing with it. And religious scammers go about things the wrong way. And they try to pit people against each other. Paul said these people are resisting. They were resisting Paul. In other words, they were opposing him. They were standing against. It's like us against Paul. You know, who are you going to be with? You going to stick with Paul? You going to stick with us? And they got this opposition mentality. Same thing happened in the churches of Galatia. Paul started these churches. He led these people to Jesus. The Judaizers, these scammers, come into the church. And they begin scamming the Galatians. Look in your handout at Galatians 4, 16 and 17. Notice that Paul writes to the Galatian churches. He's like, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They, the scammers, they zealously affect you, but not well. They are affecting you, but not for good. And sometimes people come into our life, they affect us, but it is not good. And whenever you sense that people in the church are getting an opposition mentality in the church, beware. It should never be a me against you mentality. It should never be a us against them mentality. Can I just tell you something? We are all on the same team. We are on the Jesus team. And there should never be this petty, silly me against you, us against them. And when people come to you with that kind of attitude, they're trying to scam you. They're trying to get you to take sides. They're trying to get you involved maybe in their problem and in their conflict and in their issues, and they're trying to scam you. And Paul said, avoid them. Isn't that what he said? He said, turn away from them. Verse number 5, get away. Why? Because they're not going to help you spiritually. They are not going to help you. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about things. The good news, though, I'm going to end with this. Look at verse number 9. This is the good news. He said, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Look up here. Religious scammers will eventually be shown for what they are. Amen, church? Unfortunately, many times, it's not before they've done a lot of damage to people. Unfortunately, it's not before sometimes some very good people get duped by these religious scammers. And here's the biggest danger when you get involved with religious scammers. Here's the biggest danger. Biggest danger right here. They hinder your spiritual growth and they trouble you. When someone comes into your life and they begin hindering your growth, you can know you're dealing with a scammer. Not somebody who's like, you know, up front on the level. I've seen this. Keep your handout open. I want to end with those verses in your handout. But before I do that, I've seen this before. People will come into the church. They'll make a big splash. People are starstruck. And then that person will start undermining everything in the church. They try to get a following to follow them. Even blessings in the church, they find a negative way to look at it. They paint everything negatively. They have problems with everything. The preacher doesn't know what he's doing, and they don't know what they're doing, and these life groups aren't working, and blah blah blah. And you know, and man, I tell you what, man, I can't believe the color of the carpet. You know, I can't believe the way they painted them walls, and I can't believe, you know, and everything, you know, they don't know nothing. And what happens is they take people who were real happy in church. They were sitting in church and they were singing and they were just as happy as could be in church. But after hanging around with the scammer, now all of a sudden they're in church going. I've seen it. I've seen this, man. Their whole countenance changes and they're just sitting there just like, yeah, bless me if you can, amen. And their whole countenance just changes. Why? They're around a scammer, religious scammer. And if you look in your handout, look what Paul said about these scammers. Look at Galatians 1:7. He said, it's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at the next one. He says, you did run well. Man, you were doing so good in your Christian race. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. Galatians 5:12, Paul said, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Notice they hindered them and they troubled them. So Paul said, get away from these people like this. They will steal your joy. They will hinder your growth in Christ. So be wise, be grounded, and don't get scammed. Amen. Great text, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.